بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه، ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، وأشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألف لام راء. تلك آيات الكتاب المبين. إنا أنزلناه قرآنا عربيا لعلكم تعقلون. صدق الله العظيم. Respected elders and dear brothers, in our introduction to the story of Yusuf and the tafsir of Surah Yusuf last week, we spoke about that reason and the primary cause for the revelation of this chapter of the Quran, and that was to console the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to strengthen the distressed heart of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We spoke about the huruf al-muqatta'at, the disjointed letters, and what these letters signify in the Quran and in the beginning of many chapters of the Quran as well. We discussed the first verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Tilka ayatul kitabil mubin. These are the verses of the clear book. We spoke about the deep meaning of ayat, which is a plural of ayah. We move on to the next verse of the surah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna anzalnahu Qur'anan Arabiya. Allah says, surely we have sent it down an Arabic Qur'an. We have revealed the Quran in Arabic. There are approximately, in fact not approximately, but there are 11 verses in the Quran that characterize the Quran as being Arabic. So by reading the Quran, or should I say by reading a translation of the Quran, one is not reading the Quran. That's not considered as a recitation of the Quran. If one sits with an English translation or any other translation of the Quran, then that's not considered as Quran. And that is why in the Salah as well, we cannot recite the Quran in any other language because the Quran will not be valid. Allah says the Quran was revealed in Arabic and it is an Arabic Quran. It's only considered Quran if it is in Arabic. And what does Quran mean? In the first verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala referred to it as Al-Kitab, the book we have revealed. Allah says these are the ayat of Al-Kitab, the Kitab. Al-Kitab, in the next verse, Allah refers to it as Al-Qur'an. One complements the other. Al-Kitab is that which is written. So the Qur'an is something that is written. You and I have a copy of the Qur'an in our hands. So that is Al-Kitab. Qur'an means, comes from Qara'ah. Qur'an, that which is recited. Recited by whom? Recited by Allah Himself. So these words that you and I recite are the very words that Allah recited. Allah recited them. They were recited by Allah. And that is why you enjoy spirituality or a sense of spirituality when you read the Quran in the Arabic language. Why? Because those words were recited by Allah. They have some divine attachment to them, which no other language has. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَذَلِكَ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ قُرْآنًا عَرَبِيًّا. Another verse. Allah says, and like this, we have revealed to you an Arabic Quran. Arabic today, we know, especially spoken Arabic, has been distorted to a great extent. In fact, if you listen to the colloquial Arabic spoken in most of the Arabian countries, it sounds like a different language altogether. So when Allah speaks about the Arabic of the Quran, what does Allah say? بِلِسَانٍ عَرَبِيٍ مُبِينٍ. Allah says, we have revealed the Quran in the Mubin Arabic. The Mubin Arabic, the classical, clear Arabic. You cannot get any Arabic that is more clearer and more profound than the Arabic of the Quran. Arabiyyin Mubin, crystal clear. The classical Arabic. To understand the purity of this Arabic language, Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma says, كَانَتِ الْعَرَبِيَّةُ لُغَةَ آدَمْ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامْ فِي الْجَنَّةِ. When Adam alayhi salam was created and he was granted entry into Jannah and Jannah became his abode, the language he spoke was Arabic. So the first language, human language that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had invented, or the first language spoken by any human, was the Arabic language spoken by our father Adam alayhi salam. Highlighting the purity of this language, he said, فَلَمَّا أَكَلَ مِنَ الشَّجَرَةِ, when Adam alayhi salam ate from the forbidden tree, سَلَبَهَ اللَّهُ مِنْهُ, Allah snatched away from him the ability to speak in Arabic. He spoke in a different language known as Syrianiyya. Why? He erred. He committed an error. And as a result, we know two things happened. One is categorically mentioned in the Quran. Immediately when Adam alayhi salam ate from the forbidden tree, he became unclothed. So the first thing that was removed from him was his clothing. Secondly, Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, because he committed an error, and the Arabic language is so pure, Allah took away from him the ability to speak the Arabic language. فَلَمَّا تَابَ رَدَّ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَلَيْهِ, when he made tawbah, and he turned to Allah, seeking Allah's forgiveness, in addition to forgiving him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala once again gave him the ability to speak in Arabic language. Allah says, إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ قُرْآنًا عَرَبِيًّا لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ, that we have revealed the Quran as an Arabic book so that you may understand. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ, understand what? There are two things, or quite a few things, that we wish to touch on over here. One is, in the Arabic language you have a transitive verb and you have an intransitive verb. What is a transitive verb? A transitive verb is that verb which can only fully be understood by mentioning an object. Without mentioning an object, it cannot be understood. Now, ta'qilun is a transitive verb. In other words, it must be followed by an object. Ta'qilun, you will understand what? What is the object? Allah does not mention the object. Allah leaves it open. Why? Because by mentioning the object, your understanding will be limited to the thing which Allah has mentioned. If Allah had to mention something, then your understanding would be limited to what Allah has mentioned, but Allah leaves it open. Why? Because through the Quran, Allah will open up for you the doors of understanding many things. Ta'qilun, Allah leaves it open. Secondly, Allah revealed the Quran in Arabic, and Allah is addressing the Quraysh and the Arabs, that I want you to think, the story of Yusuf alayhi salam was not known to the Arabs. They never knew of Yusuf alayhi salam. Why? They did not have a divine book, number one. The only community living at that time who had knowledge of Yusuf alayhi salam was the Jews. And that was in their language, the language that they spoke. So Allah is telling the Quraysh and the disbelievers, the Arabs, that here you have Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who is an ummi, he was not taught by anyone. He never wrote a book, he never read a book in his life, he was unlettered. And here you have him relating to you the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, regarding whom you had no knowledge, plus he's narrating that incident in Arabic, Quran and Arabiya. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ, can you not think? How much more evidence and proof do you want in order to realize that he is a Nabi and a Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Another point that I would like to mention over here is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says Allah has revealed the Quran in the Arabic language so that you can understand the beauty of the kalam of Allah. Brothers, the only language that can truly capture the message of Allah as Allah wants the message to be understood is the Arabic language. You can never understand the deep meaning contained in the Quran via any other language. You will gain some understanding, but the deeper meaning of what Allah really wants you to understand, Allah says, I've revealed it in Quran, the Quran in Arabic. Why? لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ, so that you can understand the deeper meaning that I would like to convey to you. نَحْنُ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ أَحْسَنَ الْقَصَصِ بِمَا أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ وَإِنْ كُنْتَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ لَمِنَ الْغَافِلِينَ. As an introduction to the surah of Yusuf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first characterizes the surah and describes the surah. What does Allah say? Allah says, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we relate unto you ahsan al-qasas. Ahsan means the best of al-qasas, the best of stories. Allah says the best of stories, a general statement. Allah did not say it is the best of stories in the Quran. Allah says it is the best of stories, whether it is in the Quran or you compare it to any other story not mentioned in the Quran. It is the best of stories. You cannot find a story better and more excellent and more profound than the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, neither in the Quran nor in any other book. Qasas. Qasas is the plural of qissa. Qasas, we translated it as story. And this is an example. I want to give an example of how you can only truly understand the true message of the Quran through the Arabic language. Qasas, we have translated it in English as stories. And there's no other word that we can use. But qasas is actually derived, is the plural of qissa. And qissa is derived from qassa. What does qassa mean? You know what qassa means? Qassa means to follow your footsteps. Right? Or to follow somebody's footsteps until you meet up with that person. Or if you are lost and you wish to get back, what do? You track your footsteps and you walk in those footsteps until you get back to your destination. That is qassa. Now can you understand this? Subhanallah. Allah has called a qissa, a story in Arabic, qassa. Why? Why qassa? Because what are you doing? You are walking in their footsteps. You are walking in the footsteps of those people regarding whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking about. Now can this meaning be captured in the word story? No. So that's what it is, qissa. That's what Allah says, it's a qissa. And that's what we're going to do inshallah. May Allah not only make it a theoretical journey, but a practical one as well. That we practically walk in the footsteps of Yusuf alayhi salam, his father Yaqub alayhi salam, and the other characters involved in this great story. وَإِن كُنْتَ مِن قَبْلِهِ لَمِنَ الْغَافِلِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and before this, before the revelation of the Quran of Muhammad, you were among those who knew nothing about the Quran. You were in a state of ghafla. Of course, ghafla has two meanings. One is the ghafla, that state of unawareness or unmindfulness that you choose to be in. And one is ghafla, that you just don't know. And there's no way you could have known. To be unaware. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that before the revelation, before the wahi, you were amongst those who were unaware of the Quran and whatever was contained in the Quran. Brothers, you know, there's one aspect of the surah that we should never forget. This is a surah, a chapter of the Quran, which teaches you and me how to deal with sadness, how to deal with grief, how to deal with difficult situations in life. Allah describes two characters in the surah, and both of them deal with a lot of sadness. One is the father, Yaqub alayhi salam, who has this deep love and concern for his young child, Yusuf. And Yusuf also has similar feelings for his father, Yaqub alayhi salam. So this is a surah that's going to teach us how to deal with difficult moments and difficult situations in our life. I have divided the surah into different scenes. There are many scenes in the surah. Today, inshallah, we'll try in our pre-khutbah talk to discuss the first scene of the story, which starts with the dream of Yusuf alayhi salam. But before we move on to the scene, there's an event and an important incident which occurred in the life of Yusuf alayhi salam before he related this dream to his father. And this event is important. Why? Because it is discussed in another place in the Quran, not in such detail, but there is some indication made to this incident. Yusuf alayhi salam, he had one biological brother. The other 10 brothers of his, he had 11 brothers, okay? The other 10 brothers of his were his half-brothers. And we will discuss their lineage at a later stage, inshallah. He only had one biological brother. Biological, I mean a full brother. And that was Binyamin. Binyamin, who was the youngest of the 12. Yusuf alayhi salam was number 11. Yusuf alayhi salam's mother and the mother of Binyamin, she passed away while Yusuf alayhi salam was still very young. He was still a baby at the time when she passed away. In fact, according to certain narrations, she passed away after giving birth to Binyamin. At the time of birth, after delivering Binyamin, that is when she passed away, the mother of Yusuf alayhi salam. So Yaqub alayhi salam, he decided to leave Yusuf and Binyamin, both of them, in the care of their paternal aunt. She was the sister of Yaqub alayhi salam. So he grew up with his paternal aunt, and whoever saw Yusuf just fell in love with him. We know that, right? Zuleika, the minister's wife at a later stage. And whoever saw him, he was the most adorable child. He was so adorable. Whoever saw him just fell in love with him and developed such a good relationship with him. And after all, he was going to be a Nabi of Allah. So apart from the outer beauty, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also blessed him with amazing inner qualities and that inner beauty as well. So his aunt really fell in love with Yusuf alayhi salam. And his beauty is well known. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam acknowledged the beauty of Yusuf alayhi salam. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that when I went up for Isra and I reached the third heaven, I came across Yusuf alayhi salam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَإِذَا هُوَ قَدْ أُعْطِيَ شَطْرَ الْحُسْنِ. Half of beauty was given to Yusuf alayhi salam. And the other half of beauty was distributed amongst all the creation of Allah. So can you imagine the beauty of Yusuf alayhi salam? So she naturally fell in love with him. And he was about 11 years old now. So he lived with her, we could say, for approximately 10 years of his life. And Yaqub alayhi salam, of course, would visit him. But he never lived with Yaqub alayhi salam. He reached that age where now Yaqub alayhi salam would demand him back and take him away from his paternal aunt into his home. And she realized this, the paternal aunt, and she didn't want this to happen because she was really in love with this little child. He was like her own child. So she devised a plan. What was the plan? According to the Sharia of Yaqub alayhi salam, the deen of Yaqub alayhi salam, if a person committed theft, then what was the penalty? The culprit, the thief, was owned and had to serve the owner of the item for a stipulated period of time. So the culprit would become the slave of the owner of the item which he stole. So she took advantage of this law and the Sharia. What did she do? She had with her a belt which contained a dagger. This was a very special dagger. This dagger came down from Ibrahim alayhi salam, who was the grandfather of Yaqub. So Yaqub was the son of Ishaq. Ishaq was the son of Ibrahim. So this dagger with this belt was inherited by Ishaq and then passed on to Yaqub. Yaqub alayhi salam, when he received it, he gave it over to his sister, the paternal aunt in whose care Yusuf alayhi salam was. One day, she took this belt with the dagger and she fastened it to the waist of Yusuf alayhi salam. And over that, she then dressed him up with his garment and he went out to play. She then came out complaining and making a fuss about this dagger of hers that went missing. And she said, the dagger is stolen and the belt is stolen. Eventually, they found the dagger and the belt on who? Attached to Yusuf alayhi salam. And already he was falsely charged. We know at a later stage, he's also falsely charged of a crime he did not commit. And here once again, he's falsely charged at such an early stage. Hence, the law and the rule of Yaqub alayhi salam prevailed and he had to remain with her for another year. When he reached the age of 12, eventually, Yaqub alayhi salam demanded that Yusuf alayhi salam should now return to him and live with him. So he's about 12 years old and one morning he awakes. He wakes up and he's brimming with excitement and he's brimming with joy. He's very, very excited. Okay, it happens some morning when your child rushes into your room and the child is so excited and they want to say something to you. So he comes up to his father in the state of excitement and what does he say? إِذْ قَالَ يُوسُفُ. This is scene number one. This is how the story starts. It starts off with this dream. إِذْ قَالَ يُوسُفُ لِأَبِيهِ يَا أَبَتِ إِنِّي رَأَيْتُ أَحَدَ عَشَرَ كَوْكَبًا وَالشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرَ رَأَيْتُهُمْ لِي سَاجِدِينَ. Allah says, and remember when Yusuf said to his father, Ya Abati, O my father, I have seen in a dream. What have I seen? Ahada ashara, kawkaban. Kawkab refers to a star. I have seen 11 stars. Wa shamsa wal qamar. I have seen the sun and the moon. Ra'aytuhum li sajideen. I have seen them all prostrating to me. They were all making sujood to me. So he was so excited. It was such an amazing dream that he comes to his father and he relates the dream to his father. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma said that the 11 stars represented the 11 brothers, of course the half brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam. One, Binyamin, was not a half brother, but it was his full brother. And the sun and the moon represented his father and mother, but his mother passed away. Right? His mother already passed away after giving birth to Binyamin. So mother, who is meant by mother here? When the mother, the biological and the actual mother, the real mother of Yusuf alayhi salam passed away, Yaqub alayhi salam then married her sister. So Yaqub alayhi salam married the maternal aunt of Yusuf alayhi salam. And that is what is meant, that the moon in the dream represents his mother, not his real mother, but in actual fact his stepmother, who was also his maternal aunt. When he relates this dream to his father, what does his father do? Ya bunayya la taqsus ru'yaka ala ikhwatik fayakidu laka kayda inna shaytana lil insani aduwwum mubin. He said, my son, do not relate your dream to your brothers, lest they should devise against you a plan. Indeed, shaitan is an open enemy for mankind. There are certain things that we learn from this first scene. The very first lesson, and especially for the youngsters and the teenagers who have many decisions to make in life, Yusuf alayhi salam chose to discuss the matter with who? With his father. Okay? That's who he went to. He had to he was seeking advice, he needed to seek counsel, and he went to his father. He chose his father to confide in his father. My brother, your parents are the very first people whom you should seek advice and counsel from. Why? And whom you should break that news to. Why? They are the only ones who want to see you progress. They are the only ones who want... Your mother or your father will never harbor enmity or jealousy towards you, right? They are the only ones. Even your close relatives, sometimes even your siblings, as we can see over here, they can harbor jealousy towards you, but your parents will never do that. They make dua for your success. They make dua for your progress. So the very first people we should turn to, and the very first avenue we should turn to when seeking advice and counsel is who? Is our parents. Secondly, Yusuf alayhi salam, first some advice for the youngsters, now some advice for the fathers, for the parents. Yusuf alayhi salam was brimming with excitement. He was brimming with joy, and he came up to his father in the state of excitement and joy and happiness. What did Yaqub alayhi salam do? He just left aside and dropped aside whatever it is he was doing, and he shared in the happiness of that child. Don't take that moment of happiness for granted when your child comes up to you. He achieved something. He learned a surah in the madrasa. And he's so excited and happy about it. And he comes, whatever it is that you are doing, you have to drop it aside, leave it aside, and share in the child's moment. He comes home, or she comes home with a drawing. You can't even make sense of what it is in the drawing. It looks scary, in fact. But what do? You drop aside what it is. Give them your full attention at that time. Why? It's a moment of happiness and joy. Share in that moment of happiness and joy. Tomorrow they will share in your moment of happiness and joy as well. The third lesson: Yaqub alayhi salam did not commence and he did not respond by interpreting the dream, correct? He didn't do that. What did he say? He issued a warning. He related the dream to his father, and Yaqub alayhi salam, what did he say? La taqsus ru'yaka ala ikhwatik. He didn't start interpreting the dream and telling him about what the dream meant, but he issues a warning to him. My son, understand something. Not everyone will be excited about your excitement. In fact, your moment of happiness will attract more haters than admirers. That's a lesson for you and I. Don't go out there and broadcast and publicize and post on social media your every moment of happiness and every moment of joy and every achievement. Don't do that out there. Why? It's going to attract more haters than admirers. So this is a great lesson for us to learn. So although he's bursting, a child at that age, he wants to tell the world, right? He wants to tell the world of what just happened and what he saw. The first warning he issues to him. Don't do that. Don't go and tell your brothers, not even your brothers. Don't even share your happiness with them. Enjoy the moment, alhamdulillah, in a responsible and an Islamic way. Allah gave you that happiness, that moment of happiness. Enjoy it. Enjoy it to your full capacity. Sharia has not restricted you, right? To your full capacity, according to the commandments of Allah, within the limits of Allah, there's no need to go and broadcast it unnecessarily to the entire world. It's going to attract unnecessary sentiments towards yourself, or rather, negative sentiments towards yourself. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, فَإِنَّ كُلَّ ذِي نِعْمَةٍ مَحْسُودٍ. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, the possessor of a bounty is a target of jealousy. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has taught us how to deal with dreams. When we see a dream, there are two types of dreams that we see. The one is a bad dream. You wake up feeling all scary, not feeling too good about the dream. Okay, it creates fear, it instills fear within your heart. What should you do? Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, "Man ra'a ru'yan fakariha minha shay'an falyanfuth an yasarihi walyata'awwadh billah min ash-shaytan la tadurruh." When you have a bad dream, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, what you should do? You wake up and you dislike what you have seen. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, then blow to your left. When you wake up, then blow thrice an yasari, like this. Don't spray the person said sleeping next to you. Blow, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says. Right? And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, what you should do next? Well, يَتَعَوَّذْ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ. A bad dream comes to you from shaitan. You dream of death and you dream of all these things that instill fear within you. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, seek protection from shaitan. In other words, recite, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ لَا تَضُرُّهُ. The dream will not harm you. وَلَا يُخْبِرْ بِهَا أَحَدًا. Don't tell anyone of the dream. Not even your wife, not even somebody whom you share an intimate relationship with. Do not finish, forget about it. Do not share the dream with anyone. فَإِنْ رَأَى رُؤْيًا حَسَنَةً. But if you see a good dream, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, فَلْيُبْشِرْ. Rejoice. You had a good dream. You had a pleasant dream. You woke up feeling nice. The dream that you saw. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, what you should do is rejoice about it. Be happy about the dream. وَلَا يُخْبِرْ. Inform. But only inform who? May yuhib. Only inform those with whom you share a close relationship. A very intimate relationship. Don't share that good dream with everyone and anyone. Share it with somebody in whom you can confide, like your wife, your spouse. Share the dream with her. Unless you dreamt you're getting married for a second time. That sweet dream could turn in a hell of a nightmare. So don't do that, right? But generally when you have a good dream, this is Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, this is what we should do. And this is what we learned from this first scene between Yaqub and Yusuf alayhi salam, that he relates the dream to his father with whom he shares a very close relationship. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. In our next episode, inshallah, we will learn of the interpretation. Well, not the interpretation of the dream, but the advices that Yaqub alayhi salam offers to Yusuf alayhi salam as he understands the dream and what he understands from the dream. May Allah grant us the understanding.